Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome everybody to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Show. Tonight, we have a couple of guests, and our title on tonight is Women in the Prophetic. So we want you to stay tuned. We want you to sit back and listen. If you have a question, we want you to call in and let us know. Sit back and relax. The Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. All right, I want to welcome you guys to the broadcast. I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. And on tonight, our topic is women in the title on tonight is Women in the Prophetic. So let's just begin here. And so as our guest, we have our guest who's online right now. Prophetess, are you online?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, we're gonna get into it a little bit here. I just want you to introduce yourself to everyone, give them your full name, and just talk a little bit about yourself.
Yes, praise God. Well, I just want to thank God for having the opportunity, and I thank you for welcoming me on your show. First of all, I'm Prophetess Carrie Ann Bennett. I'm from the state of New York. I reside in Yonkers. And I've been flown in the prophetic for about 10 years now. The way I was called was quite unique. My mom, Prophetess Panchita Hart, she was invited to a prayer meeting, and she was prophesied to. She was a meeting the following week, and then I was told to read Psalm chapter 3, and from there I fell on the floor and began, like, weeping. And then when I, you know, stood up, the Spirit of God, you know, began speaking in unknown tongues through me. I began prophesying, rebuking demons, and so forth. So my life literally changed between a span of 30 minutes to an hour. I was a different person. And it just amazes me how much God can change one person's perspective, you know, in such a short span of time. And I just want to make it known that I was an unbeliever. I was actually a doubter, so I really didn't have any form of godliness. And so from there, I began battling, you know, between good and evil, not knowing which way to turn. And we prayed, and the Lord sent us to One Nation Under God Deliverance Church in Yonkers, New York, and we began our ministry there, and the Lord used us in many aspects of that ministry, in healing, teaching, you know, prophecy, exhortation, preaching, and so forth. We had a few issues, you know, with the pastor, and we were led to leave, and we had only gone back to, you know, basically just visit. And even in our visitations, we were still pretty active, you know, prayer warriors and those who helped out in deliverance ministry. That pastor, she soon went away to Texas, and then we did not have that ministry. And so the Lord had taken us out of church for some time anyhow, and he began making us and molding us, and we started having church in our living room, and we did open up our home to, you know, different people that we did know who came in for prayer meetings, you know, Bible studies and so forth. My mom has a prayer ministry on the phone where she does pray for people, and she does operate in the gift of healing as well. Currently, we are connected to Tabernacle of Prayer in Dobbs Ferry, New York, and from there we've been utilizing Facebook, and currently I'm on Blog Talk Radio to, you know, disperse the word of the Lord so that people could hear it and actually take heed. And, you know, that's pretty much about the ministry within me. But I feel that God has really brought me a long way. And I was called at a young age. I was still in high school when I was called. So it was a battle, and I lost literally everything. I lost myself in the process. because then it became not my will but his will. And now I'm just learning, you know, to trust him and lean on him because, you know, once you give your life to God, you have to really submit to the Lordship of Christ, and you can't just go about doing what you want to do anymore. You have to be led by
Excellent.
The Spirit.
Excellent. Now, Dr. Wanda, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and Dr. Shelton and your ministry, your background, anything you want to reveal about your educational status? Now, and before we go, I know, she didn't want to mention it, so she didn't mention it. So, Dr. Allen, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, who you are, give us a little bit about your background and a little bit about what's going on in the ministry, and then we'll get right into the show.
Okay, did you want me to start? This is Pastor Shelton, Dr. Wanda Shelton. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm now residing in Charleston, West Virginia, where I'm pastoring a church here, New Jerusalem Non-Denominational Church. I grew up Apostolic Pentecostal, got saved at the age of 7 years old. I was called into the ministry in the year of 1979, and I've done some extensive evangelizing before ever pastoring. I received my Doctorate of Divinity in the year of 2002 from the International Apostolic University of Grace and Truth out of Dayton, Ohio. I have traveled extensively preaching and ministering the Word of God. I don't consider myself walking in the office of a prophet. However, I do prophesy, and the Lord has used me in many gifts and of the Spirit, many healings and various things happening throughout the ministry. Before coming here to Charleston, I also pastored a church in Memphis, Tennessee, and another one in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi. And now I'm an overseer of a church in Jackson, Mississippi. I'm just so glad to be a part of the program tonight, glad to have an opportunity to be able to speak concerning women in the office of a prophet. I think it's a very timely subject and something that really needs to be understood by the body of Christ. And I really thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, well, no problem, and I want to get into this because we want to talk about some things. So the first thing I want to get into is the call. Now, I myself operate in the prophetic, and I have a background in it, so that's why I want to emphasize. I want to just talk about the call. Can we just talk about the calling first? And as we get on these subjects, you can just tag team. You can either tag team or whoever wants to respond first. You know, you can respond first and go in order. Wow. I'll just, you know, identify someone. But let's talk about the call because what I have seen, and, you know, and what I have seen in the ministry, and I have an extensive background in the prophetic, so when I sit back and look a lot of times, what I see is we have a lot of people, you know, today there are a lot of people who are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, you know, calling themselves prophets, and everybody just in ministry. You just got saved mm-hmm. yesterday, and then today you're in ministry. So, you know, right. You got to say how Bishop Hilliard, Bishop Donald Hilliard, said one time, he said, you just got saved on Monday. On Tuesday, God called you. On Wednesday, you want to be ordained. On Thursday, right. You want a church. And on Friday, you want some money so we can send you out somewhere so you can start you a church. And you haven't even sat down for 10 minutes to get trained mm-hmm. or to get taught. Mm-hmm. You know, so let's talk about the calling. Because biblically, I know when I look at the Bible and you see the prophets were in groups. I know it's a thing, you know the prophets like to, today I'm called, I don't need nobody. I want to talk about that also, because that's a, you know, I'm called, I'm a prophet, I don't need nobody but Jesus. We want to talk about that and break that down, too, because we're all human, and it's human nature. You have to be around other people. For seasons, God may consecrate you, but I want to talk about that also. But can we zoom in on talking about the call from the beginning? Because as the call, you know, in the Old Testament, you'll see prophets were around prophets, and God usually sent a prophet to call a prophet. But nowadays, pastors, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. There are pastors who operate in the prophetic, but they're not in the office. But if God's going to call you to that magnitude of that office, he's going to send a prophet to call a prophet, or he's going to send someone of equal rank or higher. So can we talk about that for a bit on, let's just talk about the calling, how you received your call. And I know, Dr. Shelton, you said you don't walk in that office, but you operate in the prophetic, because we're going to talk about the spirit of prophecy versus the gift of prophecy and the
right.
office of the prophet as well. So I'm glad we have someone who's walking in the office of the prophet, as well as someone who says, you know what, I don't walk in the office, but I operate in the spirit of prophecy because I submit to
right.
the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we can get
mm-hmm.
both opinions on that. So can we have, I guess we'll start with Prophetess Carrie. Can we have you talk a little bit about the call and your, and let's if we can mention scripture, let's try to mention some scriptures too, so we can keep it found. If there's someone that's listening, they can refer to that scripture. But can you talk a little bit about the call and about having the necessity of having a prophet, or the necessity on why God uses a prophet to call a prophet, or he'll use that apostle to call out that prophet, or in certain services where the spirit of prophecy descends down, he'll use someone to reveal to someone that, look, I'm calling you to this office. But can we, and that's in the rarity, but can we talk about that for me?
Yes. Well, basically, the call of the prophet, it is a unique one. And like I explained in the beginning, when I was called, I literally didn't know anything about, you know, the Bible, prophecy, or anything. But what I can say is that God usually brings a word. He usually reveals it to the prophet that they're called, and then he'll send, you know, some confirmation. Because when we went to church, my mom and I, we were called out, and the prophet who called us out said, God says you're my two prophetesses. So anyone who does call himself a prophet, there has to be some affirmation involved. And like you said, a prophet should be able to call another prophet. However, there are people who are operating in the prophetic who are not even aware of it, and it could be that they were not within a service that a prophet was there to call them out, or they could just be operating in the gift and not really understanding that it is the office and so forth. But from my own experience, the call is, it's a great responsibility. And as you know, in the book of Jeremiah, God says, I called you before, while you were in the womb. And this is not a call that you know, all of a sudden it just pops up. It's just the time when it's actually revealed. So you are called before the foundation of the world, because God ordained us before we were even formed in the belly and so forth. But it's just a matter of time that the prophetic gift is actually manifested. And for me, it was at the age of 18. And for some people, it can be at a very young age, whereas for others, it could be, for my mom, it was when she was much older. So it varies. I wouldn't say there's any right or wrong answer, but it just varies based on experience and wisdom.
And so there would be, it would seem to me there would be a principle in that. And see, there are a lot of things, and I'm glad you said it like that too, because there are a lot of things that it takes the wisdom. It's the wisdom of God and the revelation of God to determine a situation. And
mm-hmm.
like you said, Amos. You had Amos, who was called. You had people who were called to be kings and prophets at all different ages. But one of the things also I know in the scriptures too, they can be noted, is that you know, the difference in cultures. Like today, I don't know how many people, I can't tell you how many people I know that are pastors whose children are rebellious hellions, but yet they get
right.
on stage and preach to the people, but your anointing can't even bring your household subject to it. So why do you want
right.
to get up here on the pulpit and try to bring other people subject to it? Because when you compare the children, you know, the Old Testament children, they rear their children up memorizing scripture compared with the...
Absolutely.
So the 14-year-old in the Hebrew, let's say in the Hebrew, the 14-year-old that was called to the prophetic, they knew the word. They were reared up in that. They were saturated in that. Versus
mm-hmm.
we got today, you stay on a computer all day long. You can't even hold a job. But here you are, 16
mm-hmm.
years old, 14 years old, or whatever you are, and then God calls you. And, okay, wonderful, God calls you. Now God's going to begin, like you were saying, God reveals that. He reveals that to the individual themselves. And then he brings someone else to confirm that. Dr. Shelton, can you tag in on that? Now, I know, of
yes,
course, you said the spirit of prophecy, and I know as a pastor.
Reading today out of the book of Numbers when Moses went to the Lord on behalf of the people, And he was really, I guess, in a way, really complaining to the Lord about the weight of the ministry that was on him and the complaints of the people that was coming to him. And in that instance, God had told him to call out 70 men, and they sanctified themselves. And God had said something that that really struck me today. He says, he said, "I'll come down and talk to thee." He said, "And I will," that's out of Numbers 11, 16th and 17th verse. He says, "And I will take of the spirit which is upon thee and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." Now, as we read further down, we find that when this happened, when they received this portion of Moses' spirit, the Bible said they began to prophesy. So the spirit of prophecy that was upon Moses then was transferred into upon these 70, and they began to work in the ministry of prophecy. However, they were not in the office of a prophet. They could prophesy, but they weren't in the office of the prophet. Moses himself was in the office of the prophet. And I think this is very significant when we talk about prophecy, especially when we talk about one being able to give to the other, someone who is in that office being able to call out another prophet or an apostle being able to, you know, call out a prophet. I think this is very significant of that it had, that it really, and I'm sure that there are other ways that prophets are called, but I think to be sure that this is how God does it, you know, and that he calls them out and he uses one who walks in the office of the prophet or one higher than the prophet to be able to speak and to bring forth that ministry out of, you know, bring that ministry forth out of whoever he's calling. We have a lot of people today, and I'm so glad that you talked about that somewhat, about these young men and young women too, who are coming forth within a year, 2 years, claiming the office of prophets or of apostles, and have not even walked with God, don't even know God, have never even experienced things where God is concerned. And that's not to say that God does not call people young, because I believe that he does. But I think we have to be very, very concerned about people who have not even studied the Word or spent time with God,
right,
who claim
right.
to be prophets, you know, because what
right.
we're finding is a lot of people are being led astray. There are a lot of people being hurt, a lot of people who are being wounded in ministries, a lot of people who are hearing the words of these who call themselves prophets or who say that they have been called to be prophets and are not. And because they're believing on what they're saying, they're finding that because their word is not true, that now they're disbelieving God.
But you just said something that was powerful, because, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, no, you just, I'm going to interject. You just said something powerful, because as pastors, I remember when I was in Hawaii, we used to have, you know, we had ministers come in. We had, you know, every year, you know, Bishop Cheryl Brady, Archbishop Ron Ash, we had Paula White, Bishop Carlton Pearson. There was a slew of preachers. They used to come every year and come there. And, you know, Hawaii has a couple of, you have Word of Life there, Pastor Sepulveda.
Okay.
Got a couple of ministries there. But I remember hearing in the background, because pastors would be, they were pastors. And it's not to say anything about those people I just mentioned.
Right,
but pastors
right.
who are a little bit, who had been consistently hurt by allowing people who had a title to come in and minister to the saints. So
right.
when you had people come in, they were resistant in their spirit to let their members come out and be a part of, and then you have members
right.
who don't understand that, because it makes the pastor
right.
look bad, and the pastor's just trying to be a good shepherd. So then you get,
right.
you get the people that say, okay, well, what is wrong with him? Why can't, you know, you got an issue, and then you get people who go, you know, and do whatever, but what that creates is an abundance of people with a title who don't have the integrity
right.
and character in the gift. And
I know
one thing I teach. I know some people, you have the... I saw a lot of what we call the schools of the prophets. I'm still up in the air on that.
Okay.
I'm up in the air on the school of the prophets. I believe in a school of the prophets, or a company, or school of the prophets, to the sense that it teaches people who said they were called to prophecy. Where you have a company of prophets as teachers who can
right.
teach the word and teach timing and drill that word into people. And
right.
if the Holy Spirit says so and reveals to the
yes.
prophets that I've called this one aside to the prophetic, then we'll ordain you and set you aside. But if you just come to the school, just because you come into the school of the prophets don't mean you're going to leave out a prophet.
Does not mean you're going to leave out a prophet.
And I think prophets carry an extension in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I had a situation, and I hate to butt in again like this, but I had a situation in one of the churches that I pastored where there was a young man who clearly was a prophet, and I mean, I'm sure at least 99.9% of what he said was always came to pass, but he had character flaws, major character flaws.
Yeah.
And he would not listen. And this is a problem that I'm finding with a lot of people who believe that they're prophets. They don't feel that they have to be subject to anybody, that they don't have to hear from anybody. And they can be a member of your church and still not take correction and still not take rebuke, even if they're wrong. You know, this young man told me on more than one occasion that I hear from God. You can't tell me because I hear from God.
Like,
that disqualified. That disqualified him. But the problem was the people was hearing him.
And that's the issue with the prophetic. And that's one of the issues today. And that's why I love this, you know, I like this program and to talk about this subject, because I think that's something that people really need to know, because that's something that's in abundance. You know, now my background, I came up apostolic, you know, Apostle Wagner, Bishop, you know, that PAW.
I came out of PCAF.
You know, so it's what it is. But I tell you one thing, you know, at this point in ministry, I don't claim, you know, this one Kojic or this guy or the other.
Okay.
But the Lord has did what he did. But I say, you know what? I say, God, I thank you for my background, because my pastors gave me the word.
Right.
And if nothing else, they taught us. And what you're finding today is, when you look at an individual and say, you know what, I wouldn't care if you could prophesy the trees, you could prophesy trees out of rocks. I wouldn't care if you could raise 30,000 people from the dead. If your character and your integrity and your consistency in the anointing is not right, you can't tell me anything. You might as well go sit down, because everything that comes out of your mouth is going to be tainted with rebellion.
Right. Absolutely.
And people do not like that when you come to them with that. Okay, praise the Lord. Because I've been around prophets. They say, you know, I have people call you. Hey, give me a word. And, you know, you're a prophet. So, you know, you're one of the people. You can pick up thoughts, prophetic impressions.
Right.
You can do a little something. But no.
Mm-hmm.
You want a word? Go read your Bible. Because in these last days.
Amen.
That's what the Bible
says.
That's
very true.
Son. And we have a purpose here, but we communicate the will of God. We communicate, you know, I like Ephesians, because I was reading Ephesians one day. I believe it was chapter 3. I was reading Ephesians one day, and I was like, my God, one of the real purposes of the apostle and the prophet when God raises up apostles and prophets in the different epochs of time, it's their job to tap into the heartbeat of God to help reveal revelation and communicate to the people things that God did not reveal until that certain period of time. We're in a certain period of time right now, and God, well, he uses prophets to reveal revelations and to reveal things to his people. Not that we're adding to, you know, adding to the canonical work of the scriptures, but we are adding to, because the Holy Spirit is working through us, and we're living epistles being read of men. So you know, you open up a door there, because what that does to you as a pastor is, it's like that puts you in a position now. That puts a pastor in a position, and that's what I found, that pastors like people that they're like, if a prophet can come in, because I've seen people how they work it like this. You invite a prophet in, the prophet gets with the pastor, they don't have lunch, the pastor done told him all the business going on in the church, this, that, and the other. Then the prophet gonna come in and try to minister as if it's the Lord telling you all that. That ain't the Lord. Y'all had dinner
it's
last
not
night.
The Lord.
He told
Absolutely.
You all that's going on. And it's the same thing. It's kind of the imbalance, and I'm gonna be quiet and I'm gonna let y'all get in here for a minute. But I'm gonna say this is also the same thing with the relationship between the pastor and the person and the member. People always want to be always in the pastor's face all the time. But I asked somebody, we had a men's conference, and I asked the gentleman, I said, you know what? And we had an apostle that we were all talking. And I said, I got a question. Mm-hmm. I said, there's a reason why I don't stay in my pastor's face 24/7, because I have to trust the integrity of the word that comes out of their mouth when they say it.
Right.
If I'm in my pastor's face 24/7 and telling you all my business, then how can I trust that that's the real word of the Lord? Because we know, according to Ezekiel chapter 13, that prophets can prophesy out of their own imagination, because I can love you
right.
so much, I just want to speak good to you, and I just, you know, can prophesy this. But like my pastor, I kept a safe distance because the distance, I kept a safe distance to my pastor, and I was able to receive more from their anointing and more from the God in them, because I didn't want to know them in the flesh.
Right.
That's a whole,
right.
That's a whole mouthful.
That's a whole nother ball of wax there. That's a whole nother ball of wax.
I'm going to let y'all tag in here anywhere you want to, because this is a good topic. So Prophetess Carrie Ann, so Tim, this is a good topic. Let's talk a little bit about some experience. Let's talk about that relationship between the prophet and the pastor, because that's what we do, you know, we do have today. You see so much, and though I hate to do it like myself, I've been in ministry, you know, for about 10 years now. I've traveled a lot. I know people in ministry. But it's come to the point now in the prophetic, I've had to separate myself from going here or going there, and separate myself from other people who call themselves prophets, because there needs to be a restoration of the integrity of the gift. And so people, I found out people wanted to call me and try to connect with me. And, you know, people are trying to connect with me because they need integrity. So you'll find out, let's say Dr. Shelton, you've been in ministry for years, and let's say I call myself a prophet, I'm new. So I want to be solidified or justified in the ministry.
Right.
So I'm going to try to connect with you. So when people see me with you, they'll automatically validate my ministry. And I start having to cut people in relationships, because I said, you're not going to connect with me and change the character of my anointing or my ministry, because people are going to see the foolishness you do and connect it with me. So I'm going to have to separate.
Right.
So Prophetess Carrie, let's talk a little bit about the prophet in this time period, or what you see regarding that, regarding the abundance of prophets in this time period, and the consecration. Because contrary, I like to be around people, but in this season, it's a season of separation, and I really don't like that, because I know God has called us to be and hang around people. But as a prophet, you just can't be around people all the time. I mean, praise the Lord. If I'm with you, God bless you. I would love it, but guess what? I don't have to at the end of the day. It's like, what really matters at the end of the day? So can we speak on that for a minute?
Yes. Well, from my experience, what I can tell you is that my gift of prophecy, or walking in the prophetic office, I should say, it's very lonely. And, you know, as I stated earlier, the church that we were connected to in the beginning, we were sort of close to the pastor. But when we began prophesying of certain things and saying things that the Spirit showed us, she became a little, you know, annoyed at us, and then she began revolting against the gift after she openly and publicly said these are prophets of God and so forth. Then she began going against us and saying, you know, you're not of God, you're not hearing from God. That's when rebuke began to come forth. And so I do believe that being a prophet and being under a pastor, it's a little difficult when you do get a message and you have to rebuke your elders. I mean, you know, whether you have to call them up on the phone or tell them, you know, after church, however it may be, it tends to be hard to bring the message across, because, you know, the pastor is the overseer of the church, and if he or she is responsible for the souls of those who are in the congregation, the prophet's place is to bring correction. But then, you know, them, if they're over you, then it becomes a challenge. Another thing, you know, what you asked regarding the abundance of prophets that are around, one thing that I've learned is that prophets are more forth-tellers rather than foretellers. What I've learned in my own research, you know, of the gift of prophecy and the office of the prophet, is that God's prophets, they speak forth the word, whereas soothsayers and fortune tellers, they can predict things that are going to happen. So anyone can predict the future, because people who operate in witchcraft and the occult new age, they have some type of gift. You know, it's not used for the edification of the body of Christ. And that's one of the important things with the gift of prophecy. It's for exhortation, it's for correction, it's for rebuke, it's for teaching, it's for preaching, it's for, you know, edifying and bringing out doctrinal truth. And like you've said before, the prophet does not contradict the word of God. he or she, the word of God must somehow complement the word that you are bringing forth. And what I do see is that we have an abundance of prophets who foretell rather than foretell. So they're not speaking the word forth that the Lord is given. They're rather telling people about houses and land, you know, how many children they're going to have, husbands and wives. And while that is a part of the prophetic, that's only a fraction. The most important part of the prophetic is actually giving instructions into godly living and coming in accord with the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that whoever lives godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. But nowadays what we see, I call it the hippie-style gospel, that, you know, prosperity's preached so much and it's elevated so much that when we do suffer as Christians, we think that it's, you know, shameful and we become discouraged and we begin to question God. But if the church had taken the responsibility in letting the people know that once you are called or once you become a servant of God, you know, once you become translated into the kingdom, then you're going to suffer. And the prophet must consecrate him or herself. I find myself being alone. Even though my mom and I, we both have the prophetic gift, we operate differently. There's times that we can't even speak to each other. Not because we're angry, but because God wants us to be still. He wants us in a quiet place. He separates the prophet in order for him or her to hear his voice clearly. There is too much background noise in church, in the world, and around. The static is so intense that if we are not separated, if we may not literally go to a mountain like Moses, but if we just get into a quiet place by him allowing us to turn off the phone, turn off the TV, shut out some people, family, friends, even, you know, your husband, your wife, your children, if you have to do that, if you're going to hear God's voice, you're going to have to shut people and things out. And I love my quiet place in God. I love when I can just be alone and be able to commune with God and hear his voice clearly. So one of the most important things for a prophet, you know, is really coming into a communion with God where you're breaking bread on a daily basis. It's not just a microwave type, you know, quick fix, like you stated before.
Right.
Not called on Monday and you're sent on Friday. No, I've operated in this gift for 10 years and every year has gotten harder. It's been more of a challenge because there are things that you have to sacrifice, things that you have to do that's going to cost you. And the thing about the Christian life is that it costs you something.
Mm-hmm.
Also, whatever I gain or whatever I lost, it's nothing. I count it as dung for
mm-hmm.
gaining the excellency of being in Christ. It's so much more important to die to the world and gain Christ than live for the world and lose Christ.
Now,
so that's one of the most important things that I see, that the prophet or those who operate in the gift of prophecy must understand. You need a close relationship with God. I'm 29 years old, and the Lord has not sent me a husband. I've been single for 10 years after being called. I have not been able to date or go, you know, look for, and I have not even had a desire. Is there something wrong with me? No. He had me tucked away in time to prepare me and to,
so let
know,
me interject. Let me interject in here for a quick second.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned prophecy, and I'm trying to remember because it was something I wanted to zoom in on. Well, the first thing was the prophecy. Now, let me ask you this. Now, I know you said foretelling and forthtelling.
Yes.
But in forthtelling, you do believe, I'm going to ask you to expound on that, because I know from my perspective, I do believe in the prophet being able to foretell as well as forthtell, but I do not believe in the imbalance that we do have in the church where we
Amen.
Have, there's an abundance of foretelling, but if you foretell, because that's what I think people always want you to foretell something. So,
yes,
man, oh, give me a word. You know what? The word is going to be, you know what the word for you is going to be? Read your Bible, stop acting a fool, get holy, go fast, go somewhere and just fast. How about that?
Right.
Go read your Bible and just consecrate. Just go,
mm-hmm.
just go push your plate away and do something. So I believe in that, and I just want to throw that out there. That's what you're saying. You're saying to the abundance that we have it in the church today, it's evidence that there's something that's going wrong because everybody wants to get a fortune told to them or get some foretelling coming their way. But when the prophet foretells, and I'm going to use Juanita Bynum as an example. She does a lot of, and I guess she would be an example of foretelling. A lot of her messages are prophetic in nature.
Amen.
But they're expounding on the word of the Lord from a revelatory perspective. But
yes,
the background of it is always, it's always the prophet is to point people back to the heart of God. Get your
Amen.
Life right, walk godly. This is the way you do it. We are going to point this way. We are not backing down. This is what he says. And though right now, you know, you may not like it, I don't care that you don't like it. This is what he's saying, and I'm not backing down. And I think that, and I just wanted to throw that out there, and that's what I got from what you said, because I totally agree with that. Because then you have some people to say, oh, well, prophets don't tell the future. Yes, prophets don't tell the future, but we speak to the future, but we only speak when spoken to. I remember I said that a prophet only speaks when spoken to. I'm only going to, I can pray for someone in the spirit. Therefore, I can see stuff on your life. I can see what you're going. I can pray for you in the spirit. God, I pray that, you know, touch their family. And I see this going on. Well, I'll say, Father, touch this and do this. But it's not prophecy until the Lord tells me to tell them this. And then the spirit of the Lord wants me to tell you this, that, and the other. Then it's prophecy because it comes from the Lord. It didn't come from our own spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have an abundance of people who just prophesy. Again, Ezekiel 13, we have an abundance of people who prophesy out of their own spirit. And one of the
Amen.
Things, and I guess I'm kind of tying this back in with the prophet and the pastor, because then it puts pastors in a bad place, because now pastors have become weary. You have a lot of pastors that I know, they become weary in allowing the gifts to come in. Now 75% of them are really insecure in who they really are.
Amen.
But there's a 25% of them that's like, you know what? It's like, man, they are trying to protect the flock. They let these people in. They became wolves. It's like they have to know that they can trust you and that you're working
right
with the pastor,
absolutely,
not coming into the church trying to
Amen.
Run stuff. So a prophet, when they come in, should not sit down with the pastor to get all the information, but sit down with the pastor and talk before and say, you know what? Well, you know, this is how I operate, and, you know, this is what's up. You know, what are your – and, you know, some people might not like this, but it's still going to be true. It's like, well, what do you – what's not, so to say, what's going on in the ministry, but what is God telling you? And then sometimes the pastor might not even want to mention that. You know, like me, I go to a place, I don't want to hear nothing from the pastor. I want to hear God bless you. Where do I go? I will pray, I will wait, and I'll come out because that pastor already knows my character and my integrity.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So they're not worried about everything else. See, and that's the real key right there. Let's go back to what Dr. Shelton said. You got all this stuff you pour, and I guess, probably, Carrie Ann, you said it too. You got all these people out there, they're foretelling, and they're catching the ears of the people. You're talking about the future, but one of the things that gets me in these days, all these people are talking about the future. Where were all the prophets since you're doing all this foretelling? Did they foretell 9/11? Are they foretelling the end? Are they preparing the people for what's about to come? Are they preparing people, you know, from the eschatological perspective? But all the fluff that they're hearing is, you know, you're going to get a house. God wants you to do. I know God loves me. I know if I save my money, I can buy a house.
Right.
If I get good credit, I can do that myself. That
Amen.
Not
someone to tell you
so,
that.
So what's
Amen.
What's going on? So that's what they're getting, though. That's more, and I think that's a blend. You know, that's a blend with this humanistic, you know, I call it the airhead gospel. But this gospel that just says, breathe in, breathe out. Everything is good. God is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Calm
mm-hmm.
down. God wants you blessed. He
yes.
wants you to live a good life. You know, and that's what people are getting. But when you come in there and say, you know what, God, no, put that down. No, don't do that. No, let's reveal to you the spirit that's behind that. See, because the prophet comes in to reveal, like you said, let's say I got a church, I invite prophetess Carrie Ann to come in, okay, there's some things I might be doing in my church because I've okayed it. But the whole purpose of the prophet coming in is to help me get vision. So if the prophet begins to reveal the spirit behind it or goes into some in-depth teaching on the origin of this thing, and the nature of it, and that is not godly by nature, so we shouldn't be trying to superimpose it with this. Then I need to say, you know what, God? I thank you for the revelation. She's not trying to take over my church. She's not trying to do this, but guess what? If the shoe fits, wear it. We don't all have to get to the correction of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Well, you also, you said something there that I think is very important for both sides. As I said, I don't claim to walk in the office of a prophet at all, but God has used me most of my life, even as a young girl, prophetically. I will say this. One of the problems that I do see being a pastor and then being used prophetically is that what I've noticed is when God gave the five gifts to the church, they were all for the edification and the perfecting of the body of Christ and for the work of the ministry.
Right.
They were all for the same thing. What seems to happen is that there seems to be a power struggle.
Yes.
Where the prophets, a lot of the prophets seems to feel like they're the only ones that's hearing from God.
Right.
And they come in as if
the
pastor doesn't know anything, and if you don't listen to me, then there's something wrong with you. Where they and you understand what I'm saying? And this is what happens in the churches. I see this happening all the time. It's as if, and then the prophet doesn't take correction. You know, if you expect the ministry to hear you, you expect the pastor to take correction or to be able to receive a word from the Lord from you, then you too should also be able to receive. But what happens is, what I find with a lot of the prophets that I've run into is that they can't receive from anybody.
And they won't receive
correction from anybody. And then there's no wisdom in what they're doing. Now, you have to have some wisdom, even in coming into a church as a prophet. You have to have wisdom what to say, how to do what you're doing, and that takes time with God. You can't get up and tear a ministry down and expect to be accepted. And even though there may be a number of things wrong in the ministry, you have to ask for wisdom. Lord, how do I bring this? How do I present this in the house so that it is palatable? How do I bring not only the problem, but even perhaps, as you said, a solution?
You know what? You just said, see, that's another reach. See, these are just qualifiers. And see, this is so good because we did a show, I think, a couple of months back on the qualifications of the apostle and the prophet.
Uh-huh.
But when it goes back to talking about leadership skills, why is God going to call me right now? Why is God ain't going to call me? God's not going to wake me up tomorrow and tell me I called you to be a CEO of 500 companies. It's not going to happen. It's
not
going to happen. Though I have some business skills and though I've done some stuff, that is not going to happen because I'm not going to, I'll receive that and put that in the bank and be like, okay, that's one of them ones that I'm just going to wait for the manifestation. Well, he's not going to say, okay, tomorrow I want you to go over here and do this and do that because he already knows that we're equipped. And see, so when I see people operating and stuff, when they don't operate in leadership, because see, leadership is, you recognize the leadership of the house. So if there's something that I really need to put out, I said, let me talk to the leader behind the scenes. And then I've just transferred that burden to them because if the Lord has said it,
because then
it rests
on them to carry it. Right, absolutely.
Exactly. And so, when I get up, there's a way that you put the word out to the masses because the prophet, you can get up and cut. You can get up and tear down stuff in a church, in a ministry, because you think, you're just coming out of your 40-day fast and you're just sitting on high and Jesus' first cousin, and you come out with the word and you can really tear some things down. Now, rarely. Now, I know God sometimes rarely, because what God will do with ministry, he'll send people a word, he will reveal something to the pastor, he'll send them a word, he'll confirm it, and then God will send, so I call him Samuel prophet, he'll send a Samuel prophet, and he'll send somebody in there, and they'll get that word, and it's like, you know what, I've been telling you this for the last 5 years, and then when it's out there, he's going to let the chips fall where they may. Your little feelings ain't going to get spared. But it's the integrity of God to say, you know what? You know, he speaks to us. He's going to confirm it. He's going to give us time to adjust to it and time to move on it. And it's so, and you're so true. You know, prophets get up nowadays, and that's why every time I go somewhere, I say, you can call my pastor. My pastor, Apostle Prophetess Barbara Taylor. And I do that because one of the first things, and when you get people, you got somebody coming to your church, and I told somebody, I said, well, the first thing you need to do is ask them, okay, who is your pastor? If they don't have a pastor, disqualify. You will not be coming over here because what you just told me is that you don't subject yourself to anybody else,
you don't
and nobody
tells
anybody.
Right.
Nobody, you're under nobody. So you're just your own, you're your own independent pastor. And see, I even got, you know, as leadership, you know, it's just a leadership principle. You know, I'm covered because I'm under. And I think most people, what they do in that, I think what happens is you got a lot of people who have pastors, and they're sitting under somebody, and their anointing is greater than the people they're sitting under. And I think that's where the frustration comes in. I think, and you know, like for me, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, my pastors, they can point to me all day long. But what kind of sense would it make for me to go sit? I got this tenure in ministry, and as a strong prophet, to go sit under somebody who doesn't even recognize the prophetic gift.
Right.
That God, you know, they don't even recognize it. It's just going to cause frustration, because then your gift is going to get frustrated.
Right. Right.
But I
mean,
and
what you have too, what you have a lot of times too, is that you say like, and like prophets or that are young in their ministry, you know, 10 years, 15 years, some of that sometimes is young in their ministry. I mean, I got saved at the age of 7. I've been in the church all of my life, and I'm not ashamed to say, you know, if I live to January, I'll be 60 years old. So there's a lot of things that I do know, and I have experienced in church, and I have seen in church, and I've seen prophets come in, and I've seen them actually tear up churches. I've seen churches just literally almost fall apart because of a prophetic word that went through the house, and because of the destruction that it brought, because there was no wisdom in bringing that word, and because that the prophet would not yield to the man or the woman of God in the ministry who had been saved literally 40, 50 years. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't, you know,
right.
it's as if sometimes the prophetic discounts everybody else, as if we're over or we're above. And I think that's where the problem is. Because it shouldn't be that way. We're supposed to work together in ministry, and every gift should complement each to bring fullness and wholeness to the body of Christ.
And if you are listening, you are listening to the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. I want to thank Promoting Your Purpose Magazine for being a perpetual sponsor of this show. And after this brief break, we will be right back, and we will close out the show. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
I know the love that burns, it's power.
I'm talking to Prophetess Carrie Ann and Dr. Wanda Shelton. I want you to sit back, listen, stay tuned. If you have a question, I want you to call in and ask your question, and we're going to end the show with our next segment. Hope you are enjoying yourself. Sit back, relax, and tune in. Okay, we're going to finish this up. We're going into the last segment of the show. We have about 7 minutes left, but now I would like to discuss, because we've laid a nice foundation here. So let's get into, because I know, you know, being in an apostolic denomination, I know there are some denominations that it was even hard for women to even be recognized mm-hmm. as ministers areas, and it was, you know, even to be recognized, you know, as, or you got ministers, you have ordained ministers, you know, because people do the fellowship certificate license and all that stuff, but to be recognized in ministry as ordained leaders, ministers, deacons, deaconesses, more so to be recognized as a full-blown prophet or one in the ascension gifts, what is otherwise deemed to be the fivefold ministry. So I want to talk about that a little bit. We got 5 minutes, so we'll get a couple of minutes with each of you to talk about. Can we just talk about this for this last segment of the show? Being you know, being a female and being in the ministry and some barriers, and kind of you can tie into that, if you will, something that can be a little encouraging word to someone else right along with that.
I do want to say that the word of God is very clear. Joel prophesied in chapter 2, 28th verse, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Romans 11 and 29 tells us, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, or with, they're irrevocable. In other words, God is the one that gives these gifts that are in the church, whether it be a pastor or any form of leadership, and certainly even as a prophetess. The word of God is clear that there have been many female prophets in Old Testament. We had Miriam and Deborah and Huldah and Noadiah, and who was Isaiah's wife. In the New Testament, you had Anna. You had the four daughters of Philip, and there were others in the Word of God who clearly were prophetesses. And I do believe that the gift of prophecy, whether it's from male or female, is needed in the house of God as well as the other gifts. And I believe what we have, the problem is that we just need balance. And we need to accept what God has brought in the house of God, and all of us need to accept the gift and the call of God on each of our lives. And I think the church then will be whole if we can
understand. Now, Prophetess Carrie Ann, let's just speak a minute or two on that same topic.
Well, in my experience, I've never truly had any problems. I'm usually connected to non-denominational churches. And I know that denominational churches, they do have a problem, some of them, with women in ministry in general. And they normally reiterate 1 Corinthians 14. But what we have to do is, when we look at the Bible, we have to look at the time in which it was written. And as we know, women were not allowed to speak or even to learn. You know, their job was in the home. So when Paul did write that, he was just writing in reference to the time in which he lived. And so in our days, women been free since 1920, so there shouldn't be a problem with, you know, a woman in the office of a prophet, as a pastor, you know, as an evangelist. Any office that God has called an individual, it is God who calls, who ordains, who justifies, and can, you know, discredit or say anything against what God has done. And this also goes in line with years of service. It doesn't matter, you could be saved 50 years, 60 years, but it's your relationship. And if you don't have a solid relationship, we mature in God, not just by years and numbers, because God sits in eternity. He's not even sitting in time. And so when
Absolutely.
We mature, we're maturing based on our actual ongoing
mm-hmm.
relationship with God.
Absolutely.
So in your 60 years, you could have a breakage point where you are never even close to God, whereas you could be saved for 5 years and been consecrated unto his service, and he taught you. So when it comes to women or men in ministry in general, it is God who calls, it is God who
mm-hmm.
ordains, who justifies, and in the end, it is God who's going to exalt us, not man.
Amen.
All right, well, I just want to thank you for you young ladies for coming on the show. I want to thank you for your time. I just really would like to thank you guys for just talking about this topic on tonight. And again, if you're listening to the topic, it's been, you know, women in the prophetic and women in ministry. And I'm glad we have Dr. Shelton who said, you know, you travel, but you operate in the spirit of prophecy. And then we have Prophetess Carrie Ann, who's actually in the office of the prophet. So we've had the balance of the two and the different points of view. And so I want to thank you guys for being on the show tonight. I want to just thank you. I think this was really in-depth. I think people who tuned in and listened, I think they've gotten some nuggets from this. And when they play it back, I think, you know, as you play stuff back again and again, I think they will get more nuggets for it. So I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. I want to just appreciate you. And I hope that you ladies have a blessed night, Prophetess Carrie Ann and Dr. Shelton. I want to thank you again. And be blessed and enjoy the night. And I hope we can touch base again.
Amen. God bless you also. And God bless you, Prophetess.
Thank you. God bless you both.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. This is the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. And if you've been listening in, we've had two guests. And I'm just going to close this for a minute or two and just kind of recap. And we had Dr. Shelton on, and who is a pastor, and she's pastored in a couple of different locales, and she admitted, and she said, you know what, I've traveled, I minister, I've been operating under an evangelistic anointing. She's now a pastor, and she says she oversees some other ministries, and she says, you know, I operate in the spirit of prophecy. I'm not in the office of the prophet. And then we have Prophet Carrie Ann, said, you know what, I operate in the office of the prophet. So we had two. There is a distinction between the office of the prophet, the spirit of prophecy, and the gift of prophecy. You know, the spirit of prophecy, you can be in a high worship service and the spirit of prophecy descends down on the people. And so whoever the Lord wills to prophesy, the people submit to that gifting. Then you have the gift of prophecy. You have those who prophesy. You can prophesy through the gift of tongues. You can prophesy through other means. If we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God will use who he wants to use when he wants to do that. And then you have the office of the prophet. There was a distinction between foretelling and there's a distinction between forthtelling. You know, foretelling. Yes, we foretell the word of God. In foretelling, there is foretelling, but foretelling should be the abundance, not the reverse of foretelling. And so I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. I think we got in-depth on this topic. I hope that there was something that you have learned on tonight. I encourage you to tune in next Saturday as we come back with another episode. I also want you to come back to this episode. As you play it again, God will give you some more nuggets. Be blessed and enjoy your night. I want to also thank Promoting Purpose Magazine for being a perpetual sponsor of this show and supporting us. We want to thank Dr. Shelton for being on the show and Dr. Carrie Ann for coming on the show. Be blessed and until next time.